You know, the Bible says, "Herein shall the world know that you are the sons of God and that you love one another." And love can be defined, but you can't know love unless you experience love. And I think if you're in this service this morning, you're experiencing the love of the Lord that He has put in our hearts one for another. And I'm so glad that Alvin and Mary Ann and the Gertz and Wes, who was a part of that beginning of the church, he was, I think, 14 when I came. I could whip him then. As a matter of fact, I have a picture of me whipping both Wes and Barry Gert at the same time. If you question it, I have it. I have a picture. Either one of them could whip me now with one hand tied behind their back. You know, I so much appreciate our new pastor. Dr. Wally Williams went to Houston, Texas, and founded a church. He founded the church, built it up to 400 or 500. And he told me he was never asked to come back and preach after he left. Dr. Jim Persons founded a church in Princeton, New Jersey, built it up to about 500, and left the church to go into mission work. And not only did the church not have him back, they dropped their support of him because they took the church in a different direction. And I'm very, very excited about Pastor Waddell. Before I even met him, I fell in love with him by reading his answers to the questionnaire that was sent out. Because every question that he answered like I would, only better. And I mean that. And I could sense the humility of his heart. And having met him and his lovely wife and his three fine children, I am so excited. Somebody asked me, "Do you like your new preacher?" I said, "I love him." And I do. And I'm so glad that Pastor Sam is staying. I am so pleased to have our school administrator. I ran into some folks that knew you. I don't remember now who it was. We just got back from Bill Rice Ranch, and I guess you were in Galesburg. Oh, Troy Carlson. Yeah. He said kind things about you. Well, anyway, I'd like for you this morning, if you would, to turn to Psalm 78 this morning. Psalm 78. And beginning with verse 1, the psalmist, by the Spirit of God, says, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears," or turn the ear of your soul to the words of my mouth, the word of God. "I will open my mouth in a parable, and I will utter dark sayings." And I think the reason that God spoke in parables when he walked among us, and the word of God utters dark sayings, is because these treasures of divine and eternal truth are not to be thrown out to the swine who trample it under feet and sense no value in it. But what God has said is for those who turn their heart to God and want to know what God, who incline their heart, the ears of their heart, in search of truth. They come to church and they sit with open heart and say, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. I want what you have for me." And the psalmist said, "I will open my mouth," or God says in a parable, "I will utter dark sayings of old, eternal truth, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, experience them, even the children which have not yet been born, who shall arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their faith, their hope in God, and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. Let's pray. Father, we sense Your presence this morning. We thank You that You ministered to us in the music today. And Lord, if You build not the house, if You do not work in our hearts, nothing really is accomplished. And You only work in hearts where they're turned to hear what You have to say. And Lord, if I could preach the best sermon that's ever been preached, it wouldn't accomplish anything if it doesn't fall on good ground. So help us this morning, we pray, to break up the fallow ground that the divine seeds of eternal truth might fall in receptive hearts and bring forth fruit that will remain into eternity. Could there be a soul here today that has not yet been born again? We pray today that they would turn their heart to You and open their heart and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior. Lord, we pray for each of us. We need You. Whether we know it or not, we need You. And we pray this morning that You would speak to our hearts, show us Your will for our individual lives, and give us grace to walk in Your ways. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Over the years of my personal devotions and my study for sermons, I have found that through the books of the Kings and the Chronicles, those men in their personal lives, the Bible says, this king did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, or this king did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. But as they came to the end of their lives, God sums it up and tells us this was a man of God, this was a man of the world, a man of the flesh. As I follow these various men who lived and died in times past and look at what they did with their lives, I'm reminded of what Moses wrote in the book of Psalm, chapter 90 and verse 9. He said, "We spend our years as a story that is told." We spend our years as a story that is told. The days of our years are 70, and if by reason of strength they be 80, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for we soon fly away from this world into eternity. But we leave a story. You're writing every day the story of your life, and when you're gone and people speak of you, they'll tell somebody something of the story of your life. And in light of that truth that God showed to Moses, verse 12 of that 90th chapter, he prays, "Dear God, teach us to number our days, to take each day as You give it to us, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." That the story of our lives, when it's all done, will be the story of a man, a woman, a young person of wisdom that did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. When I was young, you folks have heard me say, I lived with my grandparents to help my grandfather on the farm, as us grand boys would come and stay for a few months to help my grandfather, who had a game leg. And on Saturdays, when we couldn't work outside, my grandfather always found something to do. He was a workaholic, and he was a slave driver, and you didn't have any free time when you were in his household. So on Saturdays, we would sit on potato crates, and we would husk corn and shell corn from my grandmother's 200 chickens. And as we sat there husking and shelling, my grandfather would converse with me and share with me, tell me, you remember this barn up there on Burke Hill? Well, so-and-so lived in that barn, or lived in that house, had that barn, had a farm there. And he would just tell me the story of that family, that person's life, what they did, what they didn't do, what kind of people they were. And then he would draw moral and spiritual lessons from their lives and drive home Bible principles and Bible truths. My grandfather was a great storyteller. I enjoyed it immensely. But he impressed my life very deeply. He was a deacon in our church. He was my Sunday school teacher when I was a teenager. And he impressed upon me that every day of my life, I am writing a new chapter in the story of my life. And the wonderful thing about it is, God has given us in our constitution a volitional element of choice. And we can write the story of our own life. This was a man who did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Or we can write, he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. But as God gives us a new day, we write a new chapter, and it's up to us what we write. I look in the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel and Judah, and God tells the story of their lives, as one day he will tell the story of our lives, yours and mine. But those men were given a choice, and those men, be it good or be it evil, they wrote the story of their lives by the things that they did, by the things that they said, and by what they were. And God goes on to tell us about the things that they did. This king did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And God tells us in the book of Chronicles and Kings what that king did that was right. And we read what they did and we see what came of it. And then he tells us this king did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord and tells us what he did. And we see what came of that. And it doesn't take us too long if we're paying attention to say, you know what, I think I want to write the story of a man who did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Because I want my life to come under the blessing of God, the guidance of God, and the will of God. So we choose the direction that we go in life. In the Bible, God tells us very clearly, I have set before you the way of life and the way of death. And tells us to choose which path we're going to travel. Those kings did, and we do, and we will. God says in Psalm 90 and verse 9, we spend our days. We spend the years of our life choosing either to serve God or neglecting God and going the way of the godless. But God gives to every one of us so many years, so many months, so many weeks, so many days in which to live out our lives. And he gives them to us a day at a time. This is the day which the Lord hath made. What am I going to do with it? How am I going to spend this day, my life this day? None of us knows just how many years or months or days God in his providence has deposited in the bank of our life for us to spend. in this world. So every day, we're going to spend our days doing something. And when Moses came under the dominating power, the driving power of that reality, his heart went up in prayer, Lord, teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom, to invest each day as God gives it to us in God and eternity, that and the end we have written a good story and lived a good life that's right before the eyes of God, that has accomplished that which God purposed for us in this world. A life that will not only please God, but a life that will be blessed of God and will have an influence upon those who follow us for God and for goodness. That's why Jesus taught us to pray, Thy will be done on earth in accordance with your will that's written in heaven. God has written a life, a blueprint, a program for your life. This was one of the greatest things that I came to when I got my life right with God. I had been floundering around doing my own thing, seeking my own will and my own way, and even though I knew the Lord, I wasn't praying for God's will. I was trying to figure out my will. What do I want? People, what are you going to do with your life? Well, I think I'll be a math teacher. I think I'd like that. And when I got my life turned around and turned it over to the Lord, I came to the understanding that, hey, God has a beautiful plan and program for my life. I want to know what it is. And so I began to pray as God taught us to pray, Thy will be done in my life as you plan for it in heaven. I am to pray that God's providential blueprint for every day that God gives me as He wrote it in heaven, that would be lived out by my choices, yielding to His will and His purpose, that I might write the story of a man who did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. He is the author of our lives. Not just our salvation, the saving of our soul, but the salvaging of our lives for God in eternity. And He is the finisher. He is the enabler, the one who enables us to do His will as He leads us. If I reject or if I neglect, I do have the free will to choose my own path in life and to write my own story, as the kings of Israel and Judah did. And some of them wrote a good story and some wrote a bad story. My grandfather applied his heart to wisdom. And living in his home and working with him, I observed his life as we worked together, as we played together, as on Sundays we worshiped together, we prayed together. I observed him in every sort of situation and circumstance that life can dish up. And what I saw was goodness, godliness, honesty, love. He imparted and impacted my life just as he had impacted the life of my father, his son. And my father often would be saying to me things that my grandfather had already said to me that my father got from him. The same principles, the same truths that my grandfather had taught me, reinforcing the precepts and of the scriptures and the example of godliness. And there was a consistency that both generations were projecting upon my life. And I think God purposes that for every family. I want us to look again at our text, Psalm 78. Give ear, O my people, praying as to what God would have me preach. It seems so clear that God is saying, give ear, O my people, not just the people of Israel in that day, but the people of Faith Baptist Church on this day, to my law, incline your ears to the words of my mouth. Are you inclining your heart, the ears of your heart and your soul this morning, to say, God, what are you saying to me this morning? I'm listening. I want to hear a sermon. I want to hear from you. I will open my mouth in a parable, God says, and I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He has done. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope or put their faith in the God of the Bible and not forget the works of God, but to keep His commandments. We have an awesome responsibility, every one of us, a tremendous mission in life. We're not here to do our own thing. As a father, as a grandfather, we have the responsibility to be leaders in our home. Listen to what God says of Abraham in Genesis 18 and verse 19. I know him, God says. I know this man. He knows me. He is mine. Can he say that of you this morning? I know him. I know that he will command his children and his household after him. They shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, to live out God's plan and God's program. Dads, can God say that of you this morning? Do you take the Bible and say, this is the lamp unto our feet, the light unto our path? Let us look and see where it would direct us today. God wanted to found a nation of people that would be peculiarly His, separated from the world unto God. So He sought for a man who was going in the right direction, who was seeking God, that He would use this man to influence the future generations, to teach and lead His children, His grandchildren, in the way of God's will and God's wisdom and God's truth and God's purposes. And when God did some miracle among His people to show His hand mighty, He told them to build a memorial, establish a landmark here where God intervened in a supernatural way to manifest His care for His people. That when the next generation comes along and they see this memorial, what is that, Dad? Or what's that, Granddad? Oh, that's where God did this great miracle. Establish a feast or a celebration, that each year you celebrate the Passover to remind the children of Israel that it was the blood that had to be applied by faith that the death angel pass over and not bring death. We need the blood applied, which points to the Lord Jesus. And remember what God did and explained to the generation to come, what God has done for His people and what He wants to do and how He works among us and deals with us. When He gave them the laws of righteousness by which to live through Moses, He commanded them, and I'd like you to read in Deuteronomy chapter 6 what God said to the people of Israel in chapter 6 of Deuteronomy and verse 4. He says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Hear, turn the ear of your soul to hearken unto what God says." And here's what he says to these people, the sons of Abraham. "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in your heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." In other words, talk about the Lord. Make your children conscious of the presence of the Lord and that He wants to work today and lead you today and bless you today. In Psalm 102 and verse 8 or 18, God reiterates and says, "These things shall be written for the generation to come," your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, "and the people which shall be created," those that have never even been born, "shall praise the Lord." And Moses expresses the heart of God as he says, "Oh, that there was such a heart in these, that they would fear the Lord and keep all of His commandments, that it might be well with them and with their children forever." God wants to bless, but His blessings are on the pathway of righteousness and truth. And if we do not choose to go in that path, or we neglect to go in that path, we miss those blessings. And He cannot bless those who are outside of His will and His program. The prophet Isaiah cried out to the children of Israel, saying, "The fathers to the children shall make known thy truth, thy precepts," example that we set before them by teaching them in the home with the Word of God about the Lord, bringing them to a Bible-preaching church and Sunday school, putting them in a Christian school where they have Christian leadership and Christian curriculum and Christian perspective. Our mission in life is to seek God with all of our heart, to love God with all of our soul, to learn of God ourselves, and to minister what we learn of His truth to the next generation. That's why Mississippi Valley Christian School, this church, and that school are so important. God raised up this church. Out of this church, God raised up Mississippi Valley Christian School. They're diminishing and dying all around us. Sin is waxed. How is it? And love of many grows cold. And God's people are not seeing the importance of training up our children in the way they should. Hang on to that which God has called us to. I appreciate Pastor Waddell and his heart and his burden for Christian education. But folks, we fail if we do not pass on the things that we have seen and learned of our fathers. Who's going to reach the next generation if we fail? My Sunday school teacher, Muriel Graves, was God's instrument when I was 9 years old to reach my soul for Christ. But it was my mom and my dad and my grandparents who laid the foundation of my perceptions of a Heavenly Father and of a Savior who loves us and died for us. But it was only when I was 9 in that Sunday school class that teacher God used to open my eyes that I have to make a personal decision and commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. But it was my mom and dad who laid the foundation, who set the example, who prayed for me, who took me to the church and the Sunday school where the Spirit of God was able to get a hold of my heart and bring me to a saving knowledge of Christ. They were concerned about my salvation. They prayed for my salvation. My father said, "I did talk to you about it. God's Holy Spirit hadn't opened your eyes to perceive." how important we understand these things, and especially on this day of our 58th celebration of Faith Baptist Church. Thank you, Pastor, for honoring our founders. They need to be honored. It was a tremendous step of faith and sacrifice that they made to establish this church, and God has blessed that faith. We have a mission to carry on, and it's not to go out and climb the corporate ladder and make money and gather things and impress the world with our great success among our peers. Our mission is to find the will of God for me today and look to God for grace to fulfill His will. To live out day by day, according to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, what God would have me do. Lee said, "Honey, what are we going to do when we resign?" I said, "We'll pray tomorrow, thanking God for the day that He has given us, and say, 'Lord, this is the day You've given us. We give it to You. Guide us.'" I have 7 preaching engagements this month, and very grateful God's not done with us and that we can serve. But our mission is this: to train up the children that follow us in the way that they should go. And that way is Jesus. He said, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life." Paul looked to Him and said, "He's the author, and He will enable me to finish His will in my daily walk in the story of my life." He said, "I am the truth. All truth is in Him. All truth is from Him. He is the power of all truth, and it's found as He's given it to us, an example and precept and promise in the Word of God." And we are to point the next generation to the Lord Jesus Christ and to the promises and the principles that He has given to us in the Word. Looking unto Jesus, the shepherd of our soul, He is our life, life eternal and life abundant. It's to live by prayer, as Jesus taught us, "Not my will, but thine be done." Have you come to that level of spirituality where you have learned His will is better than yours? That when you kneel to pray for the day, that you say, "God, I want Your will today." There have been times when I have wanted something, but I didn't know if God wanted it for me. I really wanted it. But I learned over the years to say, "Lord, I'm letting my request be made known. I would like this. Nevertheless, I know You know better." Because God sees down the path where that decision is going to lead. And if it is not in His will, it's a dead-end street of disappointment and ultimate loss. I found that to be true. So we teach our children the principles of sowing and reaping. That if you sow to the flesh, you reap corruption. If you sow to the Spirit of God and do what God leads you to do, it leads to blessing and life. Love can only be taught through example. We can tell our children about love. They need to see it. Love is something you can define, but if it's not there, you know it. It's felt when it's present. If somebody loves you, you know they love you. You sense they love you. It's as real as this pulpit. And it's defined in 1 Corinthians 13. And as we look at 1 Corinthians 13 and see what love is, we can see if we're missing it. And we can say, "God, I need Your grace, that love will prevail in my spirit, in my attitude, in forgiving those who have wronged me." in loving those that are lost and on their way to heaven. We must so teach them that they will understand the awesome personal responsibility that they have to the generation that follows them. How grateful I am for Christian Heritage. Do you know that 60%, I read, of the children that go home tonight, 60% will go home to a home that does not have a married mom and dad. And that's so sad. That's not God's plan. That's not God's purpose. As a fifth grader, I went for the first time to stay overnight with a school friend, Donnie Schutz. The Schutz family was a rough family. But Donnie was my friend and I liked him. He wanted me to come spend the night with him. So mom and dad said, yeah, I think I was 10 years old. So I went to Donnie's for overnight. We sat down to the table and I'm sitting there waiting for somebody to say grace and they're just grabbing food and, you know, make a plate, make a plate. Don't we thank God for the food? I mean, no, God isn't there. The conversation at the table was not only coarse and bawdy, it was embarrassing, the course of their conversation. And not only was I uncomfortable with what I was seeing and hearing, but what I was not seeing. There was not a Bible to be found in that house that I could see, and there was no plaques on the wall. My folks and my grandfolks had, you know, stuff on the wall that speaks of Bible and Bible verses, Bible truth. And I can remember being just uncomfortable and thinking, I want to go home. I was so glad to get back home. I thank God for parents and grandparents who knew the Lord, that Christ was seen in them, in the way they conducted themselves, in their words and their actions and their attitudes and their spirit. How to live for God in eternity. You say, Pastor, I didn't have that privilege. I did not have a Christian heritage. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. Well, the wonderful truth of today is you can start one. You can establish one. As a parent or a grandparent, this would be a great day to do it. It starts with the Lord Jesus. You have to have Him in your heart. You have to know Him. For His Spirit to be alive in you and bear the fruit of the Spirit of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, and temperance, and to give you the wisdom to deal with the issues of life. You have to be saved. You ought to be in a good church. You ought to be committed to be involved. And you need to be going in the right path, writing the story of a man who does that which is right in the sight of the Lord. You can do that. If you haven't done it, you can begin doing it today. I hope that you will. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for this special day as we celebrate 58 years of Faith Baptist Church. We do thank you for those who sacrificed, who had the vision, the faith to make the sacrifice to allow you to use them to establish a church that would hold up the Bible as its authority and guide. Bless those families, Lord, as they are coming to the closing of their story. Lord, Clarence, 92, Alvin, 87. Lord, you've blessed them. You've blessed their families, and we thank you for them. For Helen, Lord, as she is not able to be out. But Lord, we have been passed the baton to carry on the work of their faith. And we thank you for sending such a wonderful staff of Brother Waddell and Brother Lavender and their families, and our school administrator, Brother Schneider, and his family. Lord, such harmony and such a oneness in the leadership, and such a wonderful spirit of love and commitment within our church family here. And so we pray, Father, if there be among us one this morning that maybe has never received Christ as their Savior, that right now, this day, of celebrating 58 years of what you have done in our midst, may that soul turn from their own will and way to you and open their heart and say, Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart. Come into my life and be my God, my Savior. I put my faith and trust in you. And I ask that you would lead me, Father, as the Bible says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and the Lord delighteth in his way. May it be so in my life from this day forward, that I begin writing the story of a man, a woman, a young person who has done that which is right in the sight of the Lord. May each of us commit ourselves anew to take every new day that you give us and give it back to you to serve you in sincerity of heart. We pray in Jesus' name.